Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Dr. Ken Thorpe. He's the chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Seth Richardson and Elisa Cafferata. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Dr. Ken Thorpe. He's the chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease, who over the last couple of years has been a sponsor of this program. You're here, you're going to be addressing the legislature today, and there was an editorial in the Nevada Appeal that was headlined, "A Misguided Proposal That Sets Nevada Back in the Fight Against Diabetes." Would you explain what the issue is here?
Well, I think the issue is if we really want to deal with health care costs and diabetes, we need different sets of proposals. So, for example, there are good programs out there that we could put into place that reduce the number of people with diabetes.
For example?
The Diabetes Prevention Program is a program that actually Medicare will be covering next year as a covered benefit. That's a program that the state employees could use, Medicaid could use, private plans in the exchanges could use. Very effective at reducing diabetes.
And how does it work?
It's an intensive lifestyle intervention. So it's a 16-week class. You can do it online. YMCAs sponsor them. And they're really focusing on diet, exercise, nutrition, and getting at least 150 minutes of physical activity a week. And it's proven to be incredibly successful in reducing diabetes.
When you look at this, how big of a problem is diabetes in the state of Nevada?
Oh, it's very substantial. Something on the order of 10% of adults have diabetes. It's doubled over the last 10 to 15 years. And here we're largely talking about type 2 diabetes, which is about 90% of overall diabetes. Much of it is related to diet, exercise, and nutrition, and much of it is potentially preventable.
And isn't this a similar thing to just about every illness that we suffer from in terms of chronic disease?
This is true. I mean, chronic disease accounts for 86% of what we spend on healthcare. And a lot of it, up to 80% of these conditions, are potentially preventable. We have things like high blood pressure, bad cholesterol, pulmonary disease, diabetes, as we've been talking about. Many of those are potentially preventable with just simple changes in diet, exercise, nutrition, and lifestyle.
What is the bill that you're coming here that you disagree with?
Well, it's a bill that's focusing on drug prices. And that's not really the issue of what's driving the growth in healthcare spending up. Last year, the net increase in drug prices nationally was 2.8% increase. And that's not really the issue. The issue is how do we prevent the growth in chronic disease? And how do we better manage and work with patients that have multiple chronic conditions to keep them healthy, keep them out of the hospital? Those are things that will reduce costs overall and make premiums more affordable for everybody. Now, this particular proposal does nothing in terms of reducing overall costs. It doesn't have any impact on the year-to-year growth in healthcare premiums. There are much more effective ways, if we want to tackle this issue, to go about reducing healthcare costs.
And what does this bill actually try to do?
Well, it looks at the growth in largely insulin drug prices, and if the growth in drug prices exceeds a certain threshold, then you substitute European drug price levels. And the pharmaceutical industry would give health insurance plans a rebate. The issue is we don't know where the rebate goes. And so there's really no guarantee that the rebates would ever go to consumers to make those insulin prices less expensive.
Your program has been going on for about a year and a half, 2 years now, at least publicly. What kind of effect have you seen? I mean, first of all, it was addressing the presidential candidates. Now it's down to dealing on a state legislative basis. What effect have you seen? What kind of response are you getting?
Well, I think we've been pretty effective. The partnership's been in place since 2007. And one of the things that we focused on was the diabetes prevention program because it's a program that reduces costs, produces better healthy outcomes. And we've been working with the Congress to put this into place for many, many years, and they finally last year added it to the Medicare program. So we're very proud of that, and now we're working with some states to say, well, this is a program that works. Medicare is going to put it in as a benefit. If we really want to focus on managing and preventing diabetes, we have some solutions.
So when you say Medicare is putting it in as a benefit, this is the 16-week class?
Yes, that's exactly right. So starting in 2008, people who are pre-diabetic, hypertensive, overweight would be eligible to enroll in that program.
And, you know, what age level are you looking at? Obviously, Medicare would be for older people, but are you trying to address this within the youth of the country? Because that's really where the problem starts. And a lot of it is based, certainly in the poorer parts of the country, on people that don't have access, for example, to proper grocery stores. They're buying food in smaller places. The cost is cheaper, but it's all the wrong things.
Well, I agree. There's no single solution. We can't solve this problem just through the design of health insurance benefits. We really need to focus on communities. Schools are an important focus that we've been paying attention to in terms of bringing back just simple things like physical education and really have even some simple stuff on diet, exercise, nutrition, good healthy foods. One of the things that you find is that once kids understand sort of good, healthy foods and what's an appropriate diet, they go home and they let mom know pretty quickly. So we need to deal with the schools, communities, workplaces, as well as putting into place common sense reforms like this diabetes prevention program.
Do you find that common sense is lacking in this country? Because I certainly do.
Well, there's some
certainly
some obvious things that we should be doing. I mean, I've always been struck by the fact that if we're really worried about slowing the growth in healthcare spending, we need to target what's driving the growth in healthcare spending up in the first place. We seem to be dealing with a lot of the symptoms, but not the underlying causes. And so we've been spending a lot of time with the partnership outlining sort of best practice, some simple solutions that we can put into place that would really make a difference to make healthcare more affordable.
All right, let's take a break. More with Dr. Ken Thorpe when we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Ken Thorpe. He is the chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. You say there are simple solutions out there. Let's talk about some of those.
Well, there's really sort of three things we could look at. One is this lifestyle program that Medicare will be adopting, and we think that other private plans, Medicaid and state employee plans, should look at very seriously because it works.
Do they not at this time?
They do not, no.
And this is part of what you're fighting here?
Exactly. So that's part of, you know, we're trying to identify, you know, common sense, best practice solutions that actually deal with healthcare costs. So we can reduce healthcare spending and make it more affordable. So that's one. You know, a second one would be put into place what we call health teams. These are nurses, nurse practitioners, pharmacists that work with physicians and hospitals to work with patients that have multiple chronic conditions. You know, the problem is a typical chronically ill patient could have 5 or 6 different conditions on 10 to 15 medications, and nobody's working with them once they leave the hospital or the physician's office. So this is a program that helps them understand their conditions, manage it, make sure they're filling and refilling their prescriptions, have a pharmacist look at all the medications to make sure they're appropriate. Now, that's been shown to keep people out of the hospital and save money as well.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. When I was in the hospital many years ago for a heart condition, one of the things was a lecture from the pharmacist. And it's amazing that doctors, you have 5 or 6 doctors, they're not looking at all the different medications you're taking. The pharmacist is able to look at this and see what is interacting properly, what may be very bad for you.
Now, this is true. And, you know, as patients become more clinically complex over time, we need to get these physicians and healthcare providers to work together. It's really what I call team-based care, really focusing on the person. Because you could have a person that has depression and diabetes. Well, you need to manage both of those. You're not going to get the blood sugar levels under control if you're not dealing with the underlying depression. So it's really important to build these collaborative healthcare teams. Many states have done this as well, and they've been proven to be very, very effective at producing better health outcomes for patients.
Let me ask you this. What policy positions work and don't work for healthcare?
Well, what doesn't work is dealing with the symptoms. Just simply looking at individual prices, like capping hospital prices or capping physician prices or drug prices, that's sort of like putting heavier and heavier people on a boiling pot. It doesn't control the underlying problem of what's driving healthcare spending. So I think dealing with symptoms is a bad approach. It doesn't work. I think what we want to do is really go after the key drivers, reducing the prevalence of these chronic conditions that will reduce everybody's costs. Making sure that in the benefit design that we find ways to perhaps modify cost sharing to reduce it in conditions like diabetes so the patients will go and take care of their health care, get the blood sugar checked, get the extremity exams, the eye exams. And building these health teams to really work with and manage patients, work with the families, so that when a patient leaves a physician's office, that physician has some confidence that that care plan is going to be appropriately executed, and that the patient and their family really understands what the care plan is.
Now, you say you've been working on this since 2007. Were you surprised that they tried to push Ryan Care through in a week?
Well, I was. I mean, there was obviously a whole host of political reasons why that happened. I think what they found is that, as the president said, it's much more complicated than they think. And I think the challenge on this version of healthcare reform is that in addition to just expanding coverage, which is important, we have to find ways to make healthcare less expensive for everybody. And that wasn't really a part of what was in the proposal. So we want to make sure that as healthcare reform goes into version 2, as we call it, we're really focusing on how to make healthcare less expensive, more affordable, and really improve the quality of care for patients.
Do you think that we're going to see healthcare reform in time for the 2019 year?
I hope so. You know, the problem is I think they've moved on to other even as complicated issues as tax reform and infrastructure issues. Those are also going to be difficult, contentious issues to go about. So in Washington, as it is, I think, in state capitals, taking on multiple big projects is very difficult.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Elisa Cafferata is here, lobbyist with Planned Parenthood and many others. And Seth Richardson, the political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. So the breaking news this morning as I'm driving down to Carson City to the old Supreme Court is that Mark Amity and Dean Heller are going to hold a town hall. This is going to stop a lot of action from the Democrats, don't you think?
I don't know if it's going to stop anything. I mean, I think it's going to be animated, to say the least. You know, we saw him come down here to the Carson City Chamber event, and that was a private event. You know, you had to pay to get in and everything, and enough people bought tickets that it still turned into a shouting match. So we've kind of seen how these town halls have gone around the country. You know, Tom Cotton getting yelled down in Arkansas. These sort of deep red states. I can only imagine how it's going to be here where there's a little bit of a bigger Democratic base. But you also could see some appreciation from the left going out to especially Amaday for being a no on the health care bill. So but I would expect Heller is probably going to get yelled at a little bit.
Well, and it's been interesting because it's been on the books for the Reno Republican Men's Club for the last couple of weeks that Dean Heller was going to come and address them. He's been addressing groups all over the state, but nobody seems to have noticed that on the Democratic side.
Well, we certainly are aware he's speaking to Republican Men's Clubs, but those are not easy tickets to get. And, so it's not exactly coming out and meeting the people who voted for you. And that's something that's really been important in a state like Nevada, where we didn't vote for Trump and people want to be heard. And there's grave concerns about the issues that they're voting on and the impact that they're going to have on Nevada. And, you know, on one hand, Dean Heller is running a, quote, Twitter survey on whether he should vote for Gorsuch, but he won't come meet with his constituents and hear what they have to say. He said a lot of really unflattering things about him and the issues that he could be voting on until the end when he actually voted on him. So I think it's an important meeting that they're going to have. I think it's sort of interesting that Heller won't appear by himself and answer for his own votes and stand up for himself. But it's long overdue.
I think just doing a town hall, if I were doing a town hall in this situation, I would have half of RPD surrounding me.
Well, you run for office. You have to talk to the voter. It's part of the gig, and they're not always going to agree with you, and particularly when, you know, clearly the voters don't agree with what you're doing, the majority of voters in your state, you're in a challenging position, and no one's in a more challenging position than Heller.
Okay, but at this point, you don't know that the majority of voters in the state are against his positions. I mean, you're just presuming just because of the results of the last election.
Well, if the electorate started out not supporting President Trump, and we've seen, you know, as Trump's agenda has rolled out, more and more Trump voters saying, if I had known he was going to do this, I would never have voted for him. I think it's a pretty safe, you know, mathematical equation that the voters of Nevada don't agree with what Heller is voting for when he supports the administration.
And I think to go back to your point just real quick about him going to these events and whatnot, yeah, he's going to these kind of small events that are – they're very friendly. You know, it's kind of an echo chamber of sorts because he's a Republican. He's not actually – you know, going out and talking to maybe the moderates. You know, I've had people calling me constantly, just, oh, when is you know, Heller going to hold a town hall? When are we going to be able to talk to him? And, you know, it is hard to get into those Republican Men's Club events. It's hard to get into that Keystone event. It's hard to get into the Carson City Chamber event. So they're holding this at a bigger one, and that's why I think you're going to expect – I think you can expect a lot of – especially the sort of grassroots organizations that have been popping up around the country, including here in Nevada. They're going to probably come out in full force, because look at all that has happened since – you know, when was the last time he held a town hall? I don't even know, but –
Well, Trump, he did a lot of these tele-town halls.
But when's he done one in person is the question. I mean, he hasn't even talked to the media in I don't know how long. So, you know, you look at what's happened since then. We've bombed Syria. There was a healthcare debate. He voted for Mnuchin. He voted for Gorsuch. So all kinds of stuff has been happening, and no one's been able to really talk to him, you know, press included.
And what is the venue for the town hall?
It's the Reno Sparks Convention Center, room C1, I believe.
Okay, so it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, this has obviously been going on. It's organized. It's going across the country. Democrats are finding their Republican senators and going on the attack, which is their right. But now it's the Republicans. They need to also attend in equal numbers to make sure that there's a balance there.
Well, and I think this is it's a good idea for him to do this thing too, because he's sort of been painted by the Democrats as a Trump lapdog. And that's pretty patently not true. He's broken with him on some pretty key issues, healthcare, Yucca, Amtrak funding, for instance. So
supporting him for president.
Supporting him for president. Yeah, that's very key right there. Maybe that's the reason why we're having a Yucca debate now.
But at the end of the day, when it comes down to the important votes, like, you know, like Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, which is going to have a huge impact on, you know, the legacy of the policies of this administration, he's voted with the president, and he's voted with him on not all of his cabinet nominees, but a huge number of them, and that's going to have a lasting impact in the state. And he needs to answer for that.
Okay, well, he needs to answer for that, but he also needs to accommodate things for Nevada. And if he has a bad relationship with the president, you know, Nevada is already in bad shape of losing Senator Reid.
But Nevada's going to be in terrible shape with Rick Perry as Secretary of Energy and, you know, the opening of Yucca Mountain again. And Dean Heller was the one who said, you know, getting rid of the filibuster in the Senate means the Yucca repository is coming to Nevada, because now we have absolutely no way to keep it out. So I'm not sure what he's accomplishing for Nevada and for Nevada women. You know, we've been trying to get a message to him about not defunding Planned Parenthood, not cutting Title X. We've already seen a huge cut in the family planning health funds in rural Nevada. They've almost been completely eliminated. And he isn't stepping up to the plate on that either, so he needs to do more.
Well, he's been slowly but surely moving to the center over the last several years, knowing that he was going to run, you know, either for re-election or for statewide office. So it will be interesting to see how this progresses. Just a quick answer. Dina Titus, Dean Heller, would that be a great Senate race?
No.
Yes.
And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
On the next broadcast, State Senator Pete Goicoechea. We'll see you then.